So here in Southwest Colorado, as you may know, we don't have a lot of accessibility to state news. That's kind of coming in. So I really appreciate you taking the time and talking to our listeners here in the Southwest Colorado Four Corners region. I want to start today off with talking about what's on everybody's mind with the stay-at-home order and how you came to that decision and how difficult that was for you and your team to do so.
Yeah, well, we were over 1,000 cases of COVID in Colorado, well over 100 hospitalized, 20 deaths. This is going to get worse before it gets better. But what all of the epidemiologists and scientists are showing in their regular presentations, which we're updating by the moment dynamically to me, is that we need to get to a higher degree of separation, social separation than we have been. The intermediary steps, closing the bars, closing the restaurants, that was a huge step. That really helped slow it. But we're still on our trajectory that without this, without staying at home more, we won't have the time that we need to gear up our hospitals, add more beds, add more ventilators. What most people know, you know, our hospitals are close to full on a normal basis. There, you know, people with heart attacks, people with cancer, people need appendectomies. That all continues. That doesn't stop because of COVID. So we need to have those beds for people that are having heart. And so we need to have the additional capacity around COVID. And that takes this time that we bought by this order that people need to stay at home unless absolutely necessary. And that's what this means. Stay at home unless absolutely necessary. You could go out and jog. You can go to work if it's a critical workplace. You can go shopping, grocery shopping, pharmacy, whatever you need. But don't, you know, stay in whenever possible. For this to work, people need to cut down on their socialization by 80-90%. If you normally see 10 people a week, you need to see, you know, one or two people a week.
I think the other big question, too, is that exercising component that you talked about. People are wondering if state parks are going to be closed. Are city parks going to be open? Where can people do this recreating?
So state parks are open, at least for now. The gift shops are closed. The big ticket carriers are closed. Any place that people gather are closed. As long as people aren't gathering at those, we can keep them open. It's perfectly safe to be outside as long as you're a sufficient distance from others and not congregating with them. You know, cities are deciding what to do with city parks. The general advisement is playgrounds need to be closed. Those are surfaces that can easily be contaminated. You know, again, fields and so forth are safe, but people shouldn't be playing, you know, 10 people in basketball, that shouldn't be occurring. They shouldn't be on playgrounds. But, of course, you can, you know, play Frisbee with your housemate or something like that.
Also here in our region, San Juan Basin Health Department, who serves La Plata County and Archuleta County, they're concerned with lack of testing in the area, as I know it's a nationwide issue. How is Colorado strategizing to improve testing in our area and on the Southern Ute Tribe?
Yeah, when this, you know, first, when the first case hit Colorado, my priority has been scaling up testing. We have done per capita, I think, the most or second or third most tests of anywhere in the country. That's one of the reasons our numbers are so high. It's not that the, for instance, our number of 1,000 cases is similar to Texas's, but I think they have a lot more cases, but they have much less testing than we do. So we have distributed just yesterday 4,500 more tests to county health units. We've had a mobile testing lab that has had, I think, 10 or 12 drive-through testing events. The main thing people need to know is if you're sick, you just assume you have it. I mean, the chances are only 15-20% you do because the tests are about 15% positive. But whether it's the flu, whether it's a cold, whether it's COVID-19, the instructions are exactly the same. You stay home and isolate yourself unless you need medical attention. So about 1 in 10 people with COVID-19 need medical attention. That means 9 in 10 don't. And if you're one of those, if you're having trouble breathing and having immediate health issues, you call your emergency provider you know, you get in to get the care you need. But there's no reason to panic or anything else. You know, most people are just able to get over it at home over a few days.
And how is this enforcement of stay at home going to take place?
Well, like any law, like, you know, shoplifting or robbery or anything like that, we rely on people to follow the law. So it's the law of Colorado. It's temporary. It's through April 11th. There might be additional orders from your county health department, or if you live on tribal lands, there are additional orders from your tribe. But yes, we, you know, rely on Coloradans to follow the law in our state. We have the rule of law, and this only going out when absolutely necessary and staying home is a temporary law.
Here in Durango specifically, and in this region, we are so heavy small business. We're not a really a big box community. So this is taking a big hit on our local economy. What advice do you have for some of these small business owners?
Well, it's taking it everywhere. So it obviously doesn't compensate for the loss, but every Colorado will be getting a $1,200 check, $500 per kid. That's a bit of it. There's additional help for small businesses, including zero or low interest loans to cover the couple months of lost revenue. So the federal government's stepping up, bipartisan package that will hopefully be signed in the coming days, but it's already been agreed on by Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi. We've extended the state tax filing deadline. We're encouraging counties to do the same for use and sales tax. We're happy to do that for the state component of that as well. We just need to give people time to get back on their feet, and we need to get back to normal as soon as we can, which means making sure that we're increasing social distancing, not going to work, staying at home, so we can get back to normal sooner rather than later.
Do you also feel like at a federal level, how has that been working and doing this state by state and not a federal mandate?
Well, it's not great because some states are not taking responsible actions, and they're going to have a much longer devastation to their economy and lose more jobs and lose more lives. You know, the other thing is we have interstate travel, which is, you know, we don't, you know, people can come and go from other states, New Mexico, Texas, there's no borders in the United States. So without a cohesive response, there's the danger that, you know, people from less safe areas could contaminate other areas. Thankfully, New Mexico has similar measures to Colorado, so I'm not too worried about that right now, but I am more worried about Texas.
And also, you mentioned earlier this essential businesses. How difficult was that for your team to decide these are who are essential workers?
Well, all businesses are essential. We just identified what we call critical businesses for the response. So, I mean, you know, all businesses are essential 100%, but the critical ones here are going to be, you know, the grocery stores are open, so are pharmacies, but, you know, luxury goods stores and others, many of them are closed already, just like with salons and restaurants, they have to be temporarily closed for this period because, again, we need to avoid mixing. The grocers are taking additional steps to be safe environments with space in their lines. I talk regularly with the CEOs of the grocery stores. We're working on formalizing exactly what they're doing, but that's absolutely critical that their workers are safe, that customers are safe, and that people shop less for groceries. I mean, get what you can delivered, and there's plenty of food. I mean, there's going to be a surplus of food because that hasn't been slowed down at all. People, as far as I know, people aren't eating more because of this. Having too much of an appetite is not even a symptom of COVID-19, but they've been buying more food the last week or two. So, we're just worried that that'll rot in people's fridges or they won't be able to use it. And that there'll be just a huge surplus of food here in the next week or two because I don't think people are eating more, and yet they bought more in the last week. So just, you know, people need to slow down on that. There's no reason to get more food. The grocery stores have better supplies this week than they did last week.
And lastly, Governor Polis, what are we doing on a state level to help our healthcare workers and those on the front lines with the PPE gear and making sure that they're well equipped to take care of those that are ill?
So, yes, scaling up the personal protective equipment, the gloves, the masks, the gowns has been our priority. We have already looked at converting some in-state manufacturing. We've made some progress on the global supply chains to get some imported from other areas that are rated for our use. We've had donation drives to help meet that need. And, yes, the priority for that is healthcare workers, of course, nurses, paramedics, and others. We hope that we're at the point, within a couple of weeks where there's enough for others that aren't being exposed to that virus every day, but obviously covering those who are exposed to people with the virus every day has got to be the top priority.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate your time, Governor Polis, on this and helping our Colorado residents stay safe, in particular here in Southwest Colorado. Thanks for your time.
You can check real-time information, covid19.colorado.gov. And if you want to sign up to help, helpcoloradonow.org. Thank you, Sarah.
Reporting for KSUT, I'm Sarah Flower.